It's a great schos, Baruch Hashem, to be here with all of you. A schos, sometimes in life you choose the zuchuyos, you choose the opportunities and the merits you have, and other times life chooses them for you. So we'd all agree that on a Tisha B'Av afternoon, we'd much rather be somewhere else. We'd much rather that this day had already been transformed from a day of mourning and loss and heartbreak to a day of incredible celebration, to a day of elation, to a day of bracha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and even if we don't understand it, or even if we can't appreciate it, or even if we disagree with it, because we are entitled to disagree with God's plan, but even if we disagree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is still always the one that actualizes. So although there are many different places that we'd rather be on a day like today, although there are many different emotional states than we'd rather be in on a day like today, if this is the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us for this year, that Tisha B'Av of Tav Shin Pei Hei is still destined to be a day of mourning and a day of sadness, then at least we do have the opportunity to be able to spend this time together this afternoon in an effort to try to figure out how to grow from our pain. How to go ahead and turn this from a day of immobilizing grief and overwhelming sadness into a day that could serve as a catalyst for tremendous growth. Begin by thanking the sponsor of today's shiur, sponsored its anonymous sponsorship, Le'ilui Nishmas, Chaim Yishayahu Alav Shalom, Ben Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. All of the neshamas have an aliyah. Neschus v'alorin, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Yiratz Hashem, shower besoros tovos for Klal Yisrael. Should the merit Hashem bring home all of our hostages. Should allow all of our holy soldiers to be successful. B'chol ma'aseh yedehem. And should shower all of Klal Yisrael with bracha and besoros tovos. There's a strange dynamic that happens midday on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the most severe day we have on the Jewish calendar, on a variety of different levels. Behaviorally, emotionally, there is no day on the calendar that has the strictures and severity of this day. Even if you look at the most basic ideas of Tisha B'Av, that we don't greet one another. Again, this goes against the very fabric of our people. We have a Mishnah Avos. The Mishnah Avos says, "Hevi mekabel kol adam b'sefer parim yafos." Greet every person with a smiling countenance. Now, by the way, on Tisha B'Av, you're supposed to greet every person with a smiling countenance. Right? Even though we don't exchange effusive greetings, you're always supposed to put on a smile to another Jew. There is no day in which you're not supposed to smile, including Tisha B'Av. But nevertheless, this notion that we don't greet each other, this notion again that we sit on the floor, the notion that we deprive ourselves of just basic activities of daily living, our hygiene changes, our interaction changes, everything changes. And it changes in such a profound way. And I guess, even though we always know this, I think for many of us, this year was even a bit more striking, given the fact that we went from Shabbos into Tisha B'Av. Right? Shabbos, which although there is no biblical mitzvah of Simcha, right? There is no biblical mitzvah to rejoice on Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless, Shabbos is such a tremendous day of Simcha. And then we go from Shabbos and we go into Tisha B'Av, it's an incredibly striking transition. It's a transition that does not go smoothly. And then it gets even stranger. Because at midday, at Chatzos, everything changes. Everything changes. We go ahead and we sit on a regular chair. In fact, I'll quote you, I didn't put it on the sheet, but there is a fascinating minog that's brought down in the Kolbo. The Kolbo says that there was an ancient custom that after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av, get ready for this one, people began to do laundry. Oh. It's always a crowd pleaser. It's always a crowd pleaser. People began to do laundry. People, even in certain communities, bathed. After Chatzos, they didn't eat. They didn't eat. But again, laundering of clothing, bathing. And the Kolbo says that although our communities don't really follow this practice, it is a practice that is recorded. It's a practice that's on the books, which is really incredibly dramatic. So from midday on Tisha B'Av, so just to understand, Tisha B'Av itself starts out, you understand, the 3 weeks are a reverse cycle of mourning. Meaning, Let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, a person loses a loved one. So there's a progression to mourning. There's Shiva, there's Shloshim, and then for a parent, there's Yud Beis Chodesh, an additional 11 months after the 30 days, after Shloshim. The 3 weeks are the exact opposite progression. Shivasa B'Tamuz to Rosh Chodesh Av, ultimately, is like Yud Beis Chodesh, like the 12 months for a parent. Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av is like Shloshim, and Tisha B'Av is Shiva. All the practices of Shiva apply on Tisha B'Av. So exact reverse cycle of mourning. And then we come to midday at Tisha B'Av, and everything changes. Everything changes. And the truth is, it becomes even weirder, even stranger. If I were to ask you, what's the feeling tonight after Tisha B'Av is over? What's the feeling? Have to go eat, break the fast. But even before you eat, it's something fascinating. I'm sorry? Good, right? No, I know. Iris, I promise. I got it. Right? Before, I'm not talking about even what you have to do. I'm saying there is a feeling, I would describe it as a euphoric feeling. There's a certain euphoria that happens after Tisha B'Av is over. It's incredible. At least, again, I'd say from the perspective of like being in shul. You know, when Ma'ariv is over, it's incredible. The same guy that was cranky and braggish 3 minutes ago now is all smiles. He's happy. He's excited. Kiddush Levana, sure. Kiddush Levana, no problem, right? It's the same guy. Kiddush Levana, every Matzei Shabbos, he's out. He's like, what is Kiddush Levana? Right? But now Matzei Tisha B'Av, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating that there is this euphoric feeling. So why? Why? And the question even, it extends further and further and further. This Shabbos, Yom Heretz Hashem, is known as Shabbos Nachamu, the Shabbos of consolation. And once again, there is a palpable simcha. Once Tisha B'Av is over, there is a fundamental palpable simcha in the air. And yet there's one glaring question which hovers over all of us, which is, what's changed? What's changed? What's different? The Beis HaMikdash is not yet here. Our tzaras are not yet resolved. The hostages aren't home. Our soldiers are still in harm's way. The world is still against us. And yet we're, to be honest, like all happy-go-lucky. The moment that Tisha B'Av is over, and again, the simcha only increases as time goes on. And this has been the narrative of Tisha B'Av for the millennia. There's obviously something that's unfolding over here. There's something deeper because that euphoria, like I said, it comes even before you ate something. So you can't say that it's the euphoria of having a full stomach or the euphoria of not having to fast anymore. There's something much more nuanced that's unfolding in front of us. And that's the dynamic that I'd like to speak about today. If you take a look at number one on your sheet, there's a beautiful piece brought down by the Rebbe of Rapshitz. He says as follows, Kosov, the Be'er of Hashra, Melech Birman brings this down. Kosov, Rabbi HaKadosh HaRapshitz, Shehinei Bikinus Ne'emar, Echa Yashva Badad. The word that begins all of Tisha B'Av, Megillas Echa, there are kinos, many kinos that have the same phraseology, Echa. We translate Echa, how do we translate Echa? As how. How? Echa is the great question. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that on Tisha B'Av we do something that we really don't do the rest of the year. We incessantly question God. Incessantly question God. During the rest of the year, you're always allowed to question God, but in general we understand that questioning God often is an exercise in futility. You're allowed to do it, but you could question from here until tomorrow. And most probably, you're not going to get answers. This is why the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that when David HaMelech says, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And remember again, King David had many sorrows in life. Every single problem in life that you could imagine, David HaMelech had it. He had problems in his marriage. He had problems with his children. He had problems with his health. He had problems with his constituency. The only problem that David HaMelech didn't have? Money. K'nai Nahara, he had a lot of money. Baruch Hashem. One of the perks of being king, he had a lot of money. So there was never, and he came from a very prestigious family as well. So there was never a struggle with Parnassah. But aside from that, every single other thing that a person could struggle with, David HaMelech struggled with it. And so everybody has that moment where they're like, I can't do this anymore. Keli keli lama azavtani, why? Why? I know I've made mistakes. I know I've done things wrong. But why? Why all of the suffering? Why all of the difficulty? And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, it's not what David HaMelech said. He didn't say, Keli keli lama azavtani. But in the famous idea by the Baal Shem Tov, the word lama, lamed memhei, could be vocalized differently and could be vocalized as lima. For what? For what? David HaMelech wasn't asking why, because although why is a good question, and why is a legitimate question, the asking of why in the life of a Jew is an exercise in futility. Moshe Rabbeinu also asked why. The first time he went on a shlichus, on an agency from God, and he goes to Paro to deliver a message of redemption, and Paro says two words, Tichpat ha'avoda, you have time to dream about freedom? That means you have more time to work. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lama hari osa la'amazeh, why are you doing this? And even the Helig Moshe Rabbeinu does not get an answer to his question. You're allowed to ask, but it's an exercise in futility to ask. But amazingly enough, there's one day out of the year where we ask incessantly. And that's today, that's Tisha B'Av. Because the pain becomes too unbearable. Because the pain becomes too overwhelming. You know, there are times, sometimes people say things that are hurtful, that are upsetting, that are insensitive. And interestingly enough, when people do that, if they're in a state of pain, we give them a little bit of a pass. Because sometimes when I just feel overwhelmed by my circumstances, stuff comes out. And even if I know intellectually it's not the right thing to say, it's not the right thing to do, in pain, we're often insensitive. In pain, we're often theologically askew. And in pain, we say stuff that we look back afterwards and like, I don't know why I did that, why I said that. Tisha B'Av has a lot of that. There's a lot of accusatory fingers that are pointed heavenward. There's a lot of questioning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you do this? How could you allow for this? 364 days of the year, I have all the same questions. But I know that it's not really my job to ask. It's my job to figure out what to do with these new realities. But on Tisha B'Av, everything is so raw. On Tisha B'Av, 2,000 years of pent-up pain come pouring out for a couple of hours. And I'm sad, and I'm angry, and I'm disappointed. And this is not even a historical discussion for us now. Because I think we'd all agree that for most of us, since October 7th, Tisha B'Av has become a contemporary reality. And we see the released videos of precious Jewish neshamas being held in captivity. And if you didn't see the date stamp, it could look like images out of Auschwitz. In 2025, in 5785. And there is a piece of us that says, Ribono Shel Olam, what? What? What do you want? What do you want? I'm sure like many of you, I come from a family of survivors. A family which was virtually wiped out by Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro. And grandparents, Baruch Hashem, the strongest people I've ever met in my entire life, who came to this country with nothing. With nothing. And built. And failed. And rebuilt. And failed. Never once compromising. My grandfather, Zichron Livracha, when he came to the Bronx, first coming to this country, and was told that he had to work on Shabbos, and if he didn't work on Shabbos, he should not bother showing up the next week. And every Erev Shabbos, he lost his job. He would not work on Shabbos. My mother, Shishlid Miral, tells me, has told us all over the years, that one of her earliest childhood memories was my grandfather, Zichron Livracha, looking for change between the couch cushions to buy milk for his young family. But he would not work on Shabbos. And by the way, this is one story amongst tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of stories over the millennia for our people. And so on Tisha B'Av, we have those moments where we say to ourselves, what else do you want? What else do you want? What else could we do? I will tell you personally, we go through life often in the... It's okay. We go through life in the shadow of great people like this. I myself feel a tremendous sense of urgency to maximize, to do, and to accomplish. Because after 120, interestingly enough, I'm not scared of giving an accounting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm more intimidated giving an accounting before my grandparents, Zichron Livracha. Because I know what they went through and what they built and rebuilt multiple times. What's going to be my excuse? What's my excuse for underperformance? What's my excuse for not living up to my potential? What's my excuse for not accomplishing all the things that I could? And so on Tisha B'Av, we reach these moments of almost, dare I say, exasperation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it that you're waiting for? You know, people like to say, more Torah. There could always be more Torah. There's never been a point in our history where we said, oh, Klal Yisrael reached enough Torah. More Chesed. There could always be more Chesed. There could always be more of everything that's beautiful. So what are we missing? What is standing between us and the Geula? And again, then we calm down a little bit and we recognize, okay, these are great questions, but that's not really our job. Our job is to do. Our job is to figure things out. Our job is to make things happen, and our job is not as much to question. And then something amazing kind of clicks after midday today. Take a look back at number one. So the Rebbe Rabshit says, we go through Tishba, we ask Ayaka, Kadosh Baruch Hu, where are you? Where are you? Shekivi Yachol, Uperish Teva Sayaka, I'm on the right hand paragraph, second paragraph. Uperish Teva Sayaka, Humilash Ayaka, Echa Ayaka. Shekivi Yachol, Yispark Shoel Aleinu, Meshach Koy Megolasenu, Aye, Ve'efo, left hand paragraph, Ve'efo Anachnu, Achimatse Osanu. And the Rebbe says something so beautiful. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Klal Yisrael, where are you? Where are you, Klal Yisrael? I'm looking for you everywhere, and sometimes I feel like I can't find you. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds us, he rejoices with us. But if you skip to the next paragraph, you'll see something amazing. Habeitu re'ei, ad heichon advarim magiyim, ki bayom hazeh anu kiviyachol ba'os hamatzav shel hashchina. Do you know what the most amazing thing that happens on Tisha B'Av? The Ribono Shel Olam says, my children, where have you gone? And the children say, our God, where have you gone? And he's looking for us, and we're looking for him. And amazingly enough, when do we find each other? Says the Rebbe Rabshis, we find each other at Chatzos of Tisha B'Av. At Chatzos of Tisha B'Av is when we find him. The whole year HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us. Tisha B'Av, we're looking for him. And midday, 1:15 this afternoon, something amazing happened. We found him, and he found us. And the Rebbe goes on, and he says the last few lines in the left-hand paragraph. He says, Shegam kein, bocha al golos yisal v'ashkino v'meila kiraftanu al Hashem mamish p'kiyom moed. Shuzman kirva gidola HaKadosh Baruch Hu. ולפי זה יובן מה שאמר רב הקודש פנחס מקורץ, שאז נמצא אדם כביכול באוסם מקום שהקדוש ברוך הוא נמצא. In these moments of Tisha B'Av, these are the moments when we are closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I know it might sound strange, because we started the day in such a different emotional place. We started the day distant. We started the day maybe even angry. We started the day resentful. We started the day wondering where God was. And now, at Chatzos, we find each other. And we are together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it could very well be that these next couple of hours are the hours throughout the entire year when we are closest to Hashem. Not Yom Kippur, not Aseres Mitzvah, the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. And therefore the Rebbe says, Nimtza, Ve'al Kein, Yochol Lif'ol Ma Sherotza. And during these hours, the rest of Tisha B'Av today, we have the ability to accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. Overwhelming. He looks for us the whole year. We look for Him on Tisha B'Av. And we finally find each other. Chatzos, midday of Tisha B'Av. And the Be'er Pasha gives a beautiful mashal. If you look in the paragraph right below, in the end of number one, the footnote that says, Mem. Mashal ben Yokir, Shera Eich, He gives a heartbreaking mashal. If there's a child, and this child saw his parents, Rachmana Litzlan Lo Aminu, killed in front of his eyes. As painful as that is, Hare Aben Shari B'Tzar V'Avol Yomim Rabim, U'miko Mokom Eino Tar U'mechapes Achareihem, Be'odea Ki Holchu Lebeis Olamam. After the child sees this, he's not going to try to find his parents. Why won't he try to find his parents? Because he knows that they're gone. And that the only time he's going to meet them again is either when he leaves this world, and Mashiach comes and they are brought back. But he's not going to try to find them because he knows that they are lost to him forever. Masha Inkin, whereas Vam Rosha Shafa Lakach Esa'av Ha'im B'Shevi, Yafo Chabein Es Kala Olam Kulo B'Chipusav Acher Ave V'Imo. But if Chas V'Shalom, that child, sees his parents kidnapped right in front of him, that child will turn over heaven and earth to find his parents. V'lo yanuach, v'lo yishkot atshimtza esha'av o nafsho. And he will not be at rest until he finds those parents that he misses. U'bishashim tzayim, when he finally does find his parents, Yisrageish haben admaot v'yishpoch nafsho b'zakaso v'shelosa v'av. Can you imagine that moment where the son finally finds his parents and he collapses into their arms and he says, Eicha, Eicha, Ayeka, chipaste achara, father, mother, where were you all this time? I was looking everywhere for you. I turned over every stone to find you. The son in that moment of emotional release when he loses himself and his parents. I looked everywhere for you. Where were you? And at that moment, his father says back, Ha'av Omer lo, Gam ani chipasti tamid acharecha. My beautiful son, I was looking for you also. And this difference is Chatzos of Tisha B'Av. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we've been looking for you. Where have you been? We've been looking to you for strength. We've been looking for you for chizuk. We've been looking for your assurances. We've been looking for you for bracha. And then in Chatzos, Kadosh Baruch Hu finds us and we find him and he says, my dear children, I've been looking for you also. In this dramatic moment, on this tragic, heartbreaking day, we find God and God finds us. And although we are still fasting, although we still have a couple of hours until we could sustain our bodies, there is a feeling of tremendous simcha, a feeling of tremendous fulfillment. I found my father. Because maybe there are moments where I thought he was gone. Maybe there are moments where I thought that I was never going to reestablish that relationship again. Maybe there are moments that I felt forsaken. But I found him. And he looks at me and he says, I've been looking for you the whole time. Chatzos of Tisha B'Av is when we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds us. There's an incredible and profound power. And now you understand a lot of the halachic practices. That's why the morning practices are relaxed as of midday. Because there's a shift. I go from a state of spiritual alienation, thinking that I'm distant from God, thinking maybe that I'm rejected by God. And now I come to a state of being and understanding where I'm beloved. I'm sought after. God has been looking for me this entire time as well. So the restrictions are lifted. We sit on a regular chair. We pull back the parochas over the Aron Kodesh. Kolbo said, some bathe, some do laundry, some wash. Everything changes at Chatzos. Because the relationship is there. And perhaps even stronger than ever. So what is our avoda? What are we supposed to do for the next couple of hours? Because I want to explain what we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to go back home now and collapse on the couch for a couple of hours. Sorry if I ruined your plans. That's not what we're supposed to do. There's too much holiness. There's too much power. And there's too much profundity of this day. If this is the day when God finds man and man finds God, and there's this incredible relationship, equilibrium, and harmony, that means that there's a power. So what should we do with it? I'm going to share with you an incredible Gemara. If you take a look at number 2. A Gemara Masechas Brachos. On Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said as follows. Pamachas ha'isi mehalich baderech. One time, I was traveling on the road. V'nechnasti l'chur v'achas mechuros Yerushalayim. And I went into one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. One of the ruins, whether this means the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash or just one of the ruins in the city of Yerushalayim. I went into one of the ruins, lispal, in order to daven. And as we'll see in just a moment, Rabbi Yossi didn't want to daven on the road because he thought that he was going to get disturbed by pedestrian traffic. So he goes into one of the ruins to daven. Eliyahu waited for me outside, for me to come out. I finished davening, I came out. I came out davening. I said, Eliyahu is there at the entrance. He said to me, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi. Eliyahu says, Rabbi Yossi, Shalom Alecha, my Rabbi. V'amarti lo, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Omori. V'amarli, Eliyahu said to me, Rabbi Yossi, B'ni, mipnei man nichnasta l'chur v'zu. My son, why did you go into the ruin? Why did you go in there? Amarti lo, l'hispalo. I went to daven. V'amar li, Eliyahu said to me, Hayu lecha lispal baderech. You should have davened on the road. V'amarti lo, Misyare hayisi shema yafsiku bi ovrei drachim. Said, Rebbe, I was afraid that I was going to get interrupted by pedestrian traffic. V'amar li, and Eliyahu Navi said to me, Hayu lecha lehispal tefila kitzara. So daven a shorter version, whatever exactly that means in this context. Daven a shorter davening. If you're afraid you're going to get interrupted, daven as quickly as you can. Daven a shorter version, but don't go into the ruin. And Rabbi Yossi ends off the Gemara by saying, "Ba'osa sha'a lemarti mimenu shlosha dvarim." In that moment, I learned 3 things. Number 1, lemarti she'nichnasin lechorva. I learned you're not allowed to go into a ruin. Number 2, v'lemarti she'mispalulin baderech. I learned that you're allowed to go ahead and daven on the road. V'lemarti Shamispalo baderech, mispalo tefila kitzara. And they learned that if you're davening on the road, you daven a shortened tefila, a shortened form of prayer. And the Gemara discusses this idea. If you turn the page, the Gemara discusses in source number 3, why aren't you allowed to go into a ruin? What's the problem going into a ruin? So the Gemara gives 3 reasons. Number 1, mibnei chashad. Because of suspicion. Suspicion of what? So essentially, ruins were often the sites of immoral behavior. That's where people went for immoral activity. It's a little bit out of the way, it's out of town, it's in a little, it's not in habitation. So if you were seen going into a ruin, it's possible that maybe you were engaged in some type of illicit or immoral behavior. So in halacha, we know that we are supposed to be above suspicion. Persons, even if a person is not doing anything wrong, you're not supposed to do something that looks like you're doing something wrong. So chashad, mipnei mapolas. Mapolas makes it sound like, again, because of collapse. Because a ruin is an unstable structure. If you go in, it could collapse on you. And lastly, mipnei mazikin, shadim. Shadim, demons. Okay, we're not going to get into shadim right now, right? Is it real? Is it a metaphor? We'll just take the Gemara at its face value. Shadim like to hang out in ruins. So therefore, the Gemara says, don't go into a ruin because of three things. You're going to be suspected of immoral behavior, danger of collapse, and shadim. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that in this Gemara is the very blueprint for successful living. He says, what was the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi, and Eliyahu HaNavi? What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yossi lives during the time, during and after the time of the Churban, structure of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yossi says, Nichnasti l'churban, l'churva. Rabbi Yossi says, the avoda of a Jew is to be steeped in loss. The avoda of a Jew ultimately, again, is to perpetually mourn that which we had and we have no longer. Pam'achas hayisi mahalich baderech. One time I was going to move myself forward in life and I decided, no, that's not the right avoda. Nichnasti l'churva. What have we lost over the last thousands of years? How many have we lost over the thousands of years? And if there was a decade of Tisha B'Av, we would still not be able to adequately mourn our dead. And Rabbi Yossi says that's the avodah of a Jew, to mourn. The avodah of a Jew is a retrospective existence, to take stock, to understand, to appreciate all that has been lost. And that's why he goes into the churva, he goes into the ruin. That's where a Jew should be. A Jew should be steeped in the ruins of our people, reflecting on the losses, reflecting on the pain. And comes on Eliyahu HaNavi. And what does Eliyahu HaNavi say? One simple halacha. Ein nichnasin l'churva. You can't live in the past. You must figure out a way to move your life forward. Why? Because Eliyahu HaNavi says, living your life in the ruins brings with it three existential dangers. Remember again, what did the Gemara say? Remember, me'achashad, suspicion, mapoles, collapse, and mazikin, danger. And listen to how the Baal Shem Tov explains these things. He says, chashad, if a person lives their lives in ruins, right? And just so you understand how profound this Gemara is for us, all of us have ruins of existence. How many of us have dreams that did not materialize? You don't even have to raise your hand, because it's all of us, unless you're under 11 or something. Right? How many of us have aspirations that were shattered in a million pieces by ourselves or by other people? How many of us are truly in life exactly where we want to be? How many of us had visions of grandeur for ourselves? How I thought my life was going to be, my marriage was going to be, my career was going to be, my family was going to be, I was going to be, that have not come to fruition. So listen to this. Eliyahu HaNavi says, if you live your life in the ruins of existence, there's three existential dangers. Number one, chashad, which means suspicion. Meaning what? You're going to go through life always waiting for the next shoe to drop. Is that the expression, shoe to drop? Good. You know, there are people who go through life like this, and they're always waiting for something to go wrong. Always waiting for something to go wrong. And understand, this is a natural tendency. The Ari says, why is it that we cry at simchas? It's such a strange thing, right? Crying is associated with sadness, but yet we cry at simchas. Everybody cries at a chasana. Why do we cry at simchas? The Ari says, because the neshama knows deep down that I can't hold on to this simcha. It's going to be here for a couple of hours, and then something else is going to replace it. And it may very well not be something simchadik. Maybe something else. But there are people who go through life waiting for the next shoe to drop. What's going to go wrong? So if you live your life in the churva, then number one, chashad. You're always going to be waiting for the next bad thing to happen. And you know what happens when you go through life waiting for the next bad thing to happen? You know what happens? You know what happens? Mapolas. Collapse. Then the next bad thing happens. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Those who go through life with a negative attitude, those who go through life with a negative disposition, those who go through life constantly being the consummate victim. If you're the victim, you're always going to be the victim. If you're the victim, you're always going to draw the short straw. If you're the victim, nothing's ever going to go right. If you're the victim, everyone's going to do wrong by you. If you're the victim, you're going to live a life of mapolas. Ultimately, again, the chashad, the suspicion that everything is going to implode, actually ends up happening. And things implode. Mapolas, they come down on you. And lastly, the last danger of living in the churva ultimately is mazikin. You become a toxic person. Suddenly, it's not just about your own negative and warped life disposition, but you have a toxic and negative effect upon other people as well. Now, there are people, unfortunately, who lack simchas achaim, who do not have positive perspective, and unfortunately, again, are marked by a negative outlook. And when they walk into the room, they suck all of the oxygen out. There's no room, there's no space, there's no life for anyone else. This, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, was the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Eliyahu HaNavi. Rabbi Yossi says it is the job of a Jew to mourn. It is the job of a Jew, ultimately, again, to be broken. It is the job of a Jew to live in the churva. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, you're wrong. Rabbi Yossi, you're very wise, but not in this instance. Here, you're wrong. We do not live life in a churva. You can't live life in the ruins of the past. Because if you do, you're going to wait for the next shoe to drop. And if you live life waiting for bad stuff to happen, bad stuff will happen. And over time, you just become a toxic personality, which will fray all of your life relationships. So then what is the Eitzah? Rabbi Yossi says to Eliyahu, it's very simple. Remember again, Rabbi Yossi says, Ba'osa Shah, in that moment I learned three things. What are the three things? What did he tell? What are the three things? If you look back at number two for just a moment, what are the three things? Lamarati, last line of number two. She'ei nichnasin l'chorva. You cannot live in the past. You cannot live in the past. I know this sounds like a very strange thing to say on Tisha B'Av, when we literally just spent the entire day from last night until a couple of hours ago living in the past. Okay, we did it. We did it. Now going forward. Rabbi Yossi, I learned three things. I cannot live in the past. Number two, l'marati she'mispalalin baderech. You have to live life baderech. You must move yourself forward. You cannot stay in place. No matter how overwhelming the tragedy, no matter how overwhelming the circumstances, no matter how acute the pain, no matter how overwhelming the disappointment, you cannot live life wallowing in the misfortunes. Mispalalin baderech. Get moving. Get moving. But remember again, why didn't Rabbi Yossi daven on the road? Why didn't he daven on the road? Remember, why not? What was he afraid of? Getting disrupted. So remember again, he felt so much better for me to daven in the ruin by myself than to get disrupted. And the Yaron Avi says something amazing. He says, not only that, you know, sometimes when you're on the road and you have to daven, you can look at it in a literal way, right? If anyone's ever been traveling, the sun's going down. I'm talking about if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. The best part about traveling in Eretz Yisrael when the sun's going down is if you pull over to the side of the road, within a couple of minutes, there'll be nine other reckless drivers right alongside of you. In America, you'll have the rest stop at the turnpike. That's about it. So, you know, anyone who's ever had to daven by the side of the road knows those are not the davenings you write home about, right? They're not so great. They pretty much check a box. Check, I daven mincha, right? Whatever I did, I fulfilled my halachic obligation. You know what Rabbi Yossi says? I learned something amazing. That in life, the most important thing is to move yourself forward. Even if the new journey is not as good as the previous ones. Even if at the end of the day, the davening on the road is not going to be as good as other davenings, the ikkar in life is to move yourself forward. How often in life do we reach a brick wall? Do we reach some type of standstill? And we want to move forward. But we say to ourselves, how could I move forward? The new life, the new journey, the new chapter, it's never going to be what I wanted. And if it can't be what I wanted, then it's not worth doing. People hide behind the veneer of perfectionism. Say, I'm a perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist. So only do things if they could be excellent. You're not a perfectionist. So excuse me, you're a coward. You're a coward. Cowards hide behind perfectionism. Because then, if it can't be perfect, go, I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. And by the way, you can count, I guarantee you, on one hand, the number of major life accomplishments that perfectionists have. Because 99.9% of life is filled with imperfections. Cowards hide behind perfectionism. Jews get on the road, do and work. But the davening is not going to be as good on the road. Life is just about not getting mired in the tragedies of the past and finding the koach, finding the strength to move yourself forward. This was the lesson that Eliyahu HaNavi was teaching Rabbi Yossi in that fateful day in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Don't live your life in the past. Move yourself forward. And even if the journey ahead is not going to be as beautiful as you once thought it would be, or the journey ahead is not going to be as nice as you had imagined it in your mind, or it's not going to be as perfect as you had planned in your younger years, a compromised journey is better than no journey. An imperfect derech is always better than living your life in the churva. Eliyahu HaNavi tells Rabbi Yossi, the ikkar of the Jew is to move yourself forward. A couple of weeks ago, I came across an incredible, incredible interview with a woman by the name of Dr. Tamar Yehuda Cohen. And I put a little bit of her biography over here. She's an incredibly accomplished woman. You can see over here, doctor of immunology, inventor, entrepreneur, author, mentor, academic lecturer. A number of years ago, she had a brain aneurysm, and she was given 5 months to live. And with all of this, also, she had a number of other debilitating health complications. She was interested, she studied a lot in this area called brain elasticity, which is this ability or this notion, I don't know what brain elasticity is, but again, the little that I gleaned from Google is that the brain is much more powerful than we even understand. And there's much more koach embedded in there, that even things that seem impossible right now, again, if one is able to manipulate the neuro, whatever they call it, pathways, they're able to accomplish great things. To make a very long story short, she recovered. She recovered. She was paralyzed. She was paralyzed. And she made a commitment. She made a commitment to walk again. Her husband said to her, and this is an incredible story, her husband said to her, I promise you, if you're well enough, I'll take you to the Alps. She always wanted to go to the Alps. But her husband said on one condition, you cannot come in a wheelchair. And she said, her husband obviously was giving her the chizik that she needed. And she made a dramatic and miraculous recovery. She then went on to open up her own rehabilitation center. She's a noted author. She writes her life story. She writes poetry. Incredible, incredible woman. So if you look at source number 4, this is one section of the interview. So she opened up a clinic. And she tells about one of the patients she had in this clinic. She opened up her own rehab clinic. She loves son Na'arat Sira She'akav Dimun B'moach. One time she was treating a young woman. This woman was paralyzed in half of her body. So what happened? So this girl, the patient, was one time talking to her doctor. And she told her doctor, I'm telling you I'm going to walk again. I'm going to walk again. The doctor, who's working in the rehab facility, comes over to Dr. Tamar Yehuda Cohen. Comes over to Dr. Tamar, and he says to her something amazing. He says to her, "Lama at mashle osa? Lama at matas hametipulim shalach?" He gives Dr. Tamar Musar. The doctor says, "Why are you misleading this young woman? Why are you telling her that impossible things are possible?" Granted, okay, Dr. Tamar, you're a miracle. Fantastic. You defied the odds. Most people don't defy the odds. So if at the end of this day, at the end of the day, this woman, this young woman is paralyzed in half of her body, and medical science says there is no reasonable, foreseeable way that she will ever regain use of her body, why are you filling her head with these dreams that are not going to come true? And Dr. Tamar said something amazing. If you look at the underlined line, she said, this was her answer to the doctor. Ani omeret la anashim rak davar echad. She says, whenever I meet with patients, I always tell them one simple thing. She'im taschilu la'avod. If you are willing to work, timtzu'u es atzmichem b'makom tov yoter mehamakom she'atem nintza'im bo hayom. She says, I don't tell paralyzed people they could walk. That's not what I say. What I tell people is I give them a guarantee that if you are willing to work, you will be in a better situation tomorrow than you are today. Godless. I simply tell people that if they're willing to put in effort, shim tatchilu la'avod, this should be, this is a mantra. If you are willing to work, timtzu es atzmichem b'makom tov yoser me'amakom she'atem nimtzaim bo hayom. If you are willing to put in effort, one thing I can guarantee you, I can't guarantee you that you'll walk. I can't guarantee you that you'll resume a normal life. But I will guarantee you that if you're willing to work, your life tomorrow will be better than your life today. Ani lo mavticha la'anashim shum davar. She says, I don't promise people anything. Ani rak omeret lahem eizo erech ve'eizo mashma'ut yesh la'avod ha'shalahem. The only thing is, I preach the gospel of effort. And in life, if you are willing to work, you will see results. Will it be the results you want? Will it get you the life that you want? Will you cross the finish lines and get to the destinations that you want? That, she says, I can't give any guarantees. But I can give an absolute guarantee that if you are willing to work, your life tomorrow will be better than your life today. Godless. I think one of the most incredible, inspirational, beautiful, profound, life-altering statements I've read probably in the last number of years. Ani omeret la'anashim rak davar echad, shim tatchilu la'avod. If you're willing to work, timtzu et atzmichem b'makom tov yoter, b'makom she'atim nimtza'im bo hayom. You will find yourself in a better place tomorrow than you are today. And the truth is, this is exactly, even before Dr. Tamar Yehuda Cohen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebensha, with Arichus Yomim Vishonim, even before she said it, it's exactly what Eliyahu Navi told Rabbi Yossi in that fateful encounter in the Churva. Don't spend your life wallowing in the destruction. Don't spend your life wallowing in the things that didn't go your way, the shattered dreams, the heartbreak and the sadness. Get on the road. Put yourself on the derech of life. And even if that derech is not the derech you imagined for yourself, and even if that derech is not the one that you dreamed would be your life derech, it's the derech you have. And if it's the derech you have, then that's the one you have to maximize. Because if you're willing to find the courage to get on that road, and you're willing to push yourself forward in life, and you're willing to roll up your sleeves and work, then there is an absolute guarantee your life tomorrow will be better than your life today. And I think this is exactly what happens at Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. From last night, until midday today. We, like Rabbi Yossi, were sitting in the churva. We were sitting in the ruins. That was our job. That was our mandate. That was our mission. But there's a danger when you sit in the ruins. And the danger is you can get comfortable there, remain there, and become so overwhelmed by the sadness of the things that did not go your way that you give up on the possibility of creating something beautiful for yourself. And comes Chatzos, comes midday, where we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds us. We've been looking for Him, He's been looking for us, and we find each other. And He whispers in our ear, get on the road. Move yourself forward. You know what the avoda of the rest of today is? And you could do it while sitting on your couch, just not sleeping on your couch. What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What's your contribution? And it's easy in life to kind of just get used to the rhythm, to the activities of daily living, which often themselves are meaningful as well. But forget that all of us are here for a higher purpose. All of us are here for something. All of us are here for more than just simply the execution of a list of tasks on a to-do list. Those are important also. But we each have something we contribute to the world, contribute to our families, contribute to our communities, contribute to Klal Yisrael. What's your contribution? But you say to yourself, but no, it's not for me. Because my life has not gone as planned. Because my life has been sidelined by trials and travails. Because, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is, my marriage, my career, my health, whatever else it might be, my kids, my friends, my whatever it is, my stuff has not unfolded as I had wanted it to. And because life has not gone according to plan, therefore that absolves me of the responsibility to accomplish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers in our ear right during this fateful rendezvous of Chatzos on Tisha B'Av, Shefela, I love you, but you're wrong. You can accomplish. Get yourself on the derech. And even if the derech that you have ahead of you is not the derech you had in mind for yourself, what's your path? What's your plan? What's your contribution? Who are you going to be? This is the avoda of Tisha B'Av afternoon. This is the avoda of the next few hours. And by the way, do you want to know why there's euphoric simcha when Tisha B'Av is over? Do you want to know why that is? Because there is no greater joy in life than knowing that you have a runway in front of you to something great. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is. My wife and I are opposites in this extreme. My wife, Baruch Hashem, she's calculated. She likes to know what's going to happen when. To me, I find excitement a little bit in the unknown. She could tell you many stories of when we were first married and I was offered positions in far-flung places and I was all worked up, all excited. And I'm like, okay, when should we pack? And I got that look, okay. The women know that look. That look. Like, okay, why don't you go play in your room? You know, the adults are going to make life decisions right now. Okay, and she was right 10 out of 10 times. That's the truth. I'm not just saying that because she's here. It's really true. But there is no greater simcha in the world than knowing that you have something great ahead of you. No matter how many problems you have, and all of us have problems, and some of us have big problems, but even with all of your problems, even with all of your challenges, even with all the difficulties, there's a derech for each of us. And all the tragedy and all the heartbreak and all the sadness that we mourned over the last night and this morning, none of that derails me. There's a derech ahead of me. And even if that derech is not as glorious, beautiful, or exciting as the one I had once imagined for myself, there is a beautiful life. There is a beautiful life of accomplishment that is waiting for each of us. That's the euphoria of Matzei Tisha B'Av. That's the euphoria of Shabbos Nachamu. That's the euphoria that sweeps over us tonight, because this morning I felt like my life was just one big shiva. Maybe that's it for the rest of my life. And now I realize that that is false. That is untrue. There is a beautiful derech ahead of us. So our avoda, during these remaining hours of this precious and holy day, is to figure out, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And you don't even have to make a grand, comprehensive life plan. But just choose something. Choose something. And by the way, when I say choose something that's meaningful. You know, excuse me for saying this. Not, you know, I've been saying Nishmas 42 times in 3 minutes. I'm going to say Nishmas 47 times in 2 minutes. Saying Nishmas is beautiful and incredible. Tefillah is incredible. Tefillah is when you ask God for stuff. Action is when you demand results from yourself. God is ready to help. But I often think that sometimes we spend too much time looking heavenward and not enough time looking inward. We're waiting for God. God is waiting for us. And we play this game of chicken. Who's going to act first? Who's going to bring Geula first? We daven, we should continue to daven. But this afternoon is about, what are you going to do? What's your avoda? What's your action? Maybe you want to change a relationship. Maybe you want to change a midah. Maybe you want to change a career. Maybe you want to change your parenting style. Maybe you want to change your dating approach. Whatever it is, what do you want to do with your life? Because there is a beautiful derech ahead of each of us. And if we find the strength to dust ourselves off, get out of our own way, stop perpetually mourning the losses of the past, stop feeling sorry for ourselves about all the things that didn't go our way, and figure out how to move ourselves forward. If we do that now, in this moment of rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there is no telling what we can accomplish. And there, can you imagine? I don't know how many people are here today, but imagine if every single one of us here go home and between now, 3 minutes to four. I'm going to be finished in 2 minutes. Imagine if for the next couple of hours, we just think about what we want to do. And tonight on Matzei Tisha B'Av, we take the first step towards that derech. That means hundreds of people, and we're force multipliers, because all of us have avenues or strings of connection, whether it's the family or friends, and inspire them to do the same. Can you imagine the ripple effect? It's not a ripple effect. Can you imagine the tidal wave of Kiddusha that is going to sweep over Klal Yisrael? I'm so tired of waiting for Mashiach. So tired of waiting. We want Geula now. We want Tchiyas HaMeisim now. We want the Beis HaMikdash now. But if we want it badly enough, then it is time ultimately again for courageous action. And courageous action is not the same as heroic action. The Akeda was heroic action. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't demand of us heroism. He demands of us courage. And courage is the willingness to leave your shattered dream and disappointments behind and create something beautiful for yourself in the future. And I mentioned this during Kinnis, with this I'll conclude. Last night in our shul, Moritziri Price ran a beautiful program for middle school girls. And they had a kumzitz, it was really beautiful, and I came in to speak at the end. And I don't know what, I don't know why I said this, but I told the girls, and it was very overwhelming. I don't know why, I think it was overwhelming. I think it was the first time in my life, on Tisha B'Av, that I was in a room with all children. I never had that experience before. I'm not even home at all in my own house with Tisha B'Av and my children. But a room, just children. I think there were three adults in the room, all probably about 100 girls in that room. And to me, it was so incredibly overwhelming. Overwhelming because so much of my kinnis preparation was focused on children, was focused on the children of our people who have been so brutalized. And to sit in a room with these sweet, innocent girls, different ages, some of them know what's going on, don't know what's going on. And I said, girls, I want to make you a promise. I don't know why I said it. I said, I promise you. I promise you that Mashiach is going to come during your lifetime. I promise you. And it probably was a little bit of chutzpah because I don't have the ability to make promises like that. I don't know what it was, just about the beautiful innocence and the contrast of what we read about happened to our children in previous generations. And to see those beautiful, a room filled with innocent children, beautiful, innocent children, Benos Yisrael, good, pure, incredible. I promise you, you're going to see Mashiach. And I realized afterwards that it's the promise that all of us should make to our children. And not just on Tisha B'Av. Maybe if a person is zochet to have children, before you tuck your children at night, to whisper in their ear, I promise, Shefela, Tatala, Mamala, whatever you call your children, I promise with all of my heart that you are going to see Mashiach. Or to your grandchildren. And if we're going to whisper it to our kids and to our grandkids, then perhaps that creates the machayev. That creates the obligation for us to do our part to make that come true. And we can each just find our derech. Just find our path ahead. Leave the churva of broken dreams and shattered aspirations and go on to build something new for ourselves. And maybe it doesn't just have to be a whisper, a wish, or a promise made at a Tisha B'Av Kumsitz. But perhaps it could become the true reality for our people. May we be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to find our path, to leave behind our churban. May we be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to continue this shir for many years to come, but not here. May we be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem that much sooner, but the latest by next Tisha B'Av, that we should be zochem to be together in Eretz Yisrael. That we should be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to see the rebuilding of our third Beis HaMikdash. That we should be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to see all of our hostages home. That we should see all of our dead returned to their families and brought to Kever Yisrael, to Kvuras Yisrael. That we should see all of the broken hearts finally mended. That we should see all of the tears dried. That we should see Besoros Tovos, Yeshuas, and Nechamos for every single Jew. That we should be zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to finally not talk about Mashiach as a goal, a dream, or an aspiration, but be privileged to welcome the Melech HaMashiach to our ranks, to our midst, and to our lives. Amen.